AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Five Aside. Today I'm joined by Sheun, finally back from his long break.
Yes, I'm back. Life has been, you know, work, everything has just been so much. I'm missing away from this podcast. But yeah, I'm back today to come and rant, to come and give my two cents, you know.
Yeah, so let's go. How was your international weekend, international break?
I mean, it was actually good. When my year doesn't play, I'm actually stressless because, you know, I don't have the work and my year stress together. It's just work, maybe small my year stress from news or injury. Yeah, this person has injured on international break. These are the only things that I'll just be worrying me for. But now, weekend, 6:30 a.m. like this, I wake up, start watching games. Just hope I don't get disappointed because I think it's just one more international break before.
Nah, this is,
you know, we have like three consecutive or even four consecutive months of football. So
this international break is very be scaring me these days. Like, I don't think I've ever felt this level of like anxiety towards international break before the way I'm playing this season. Maybe it's just called the sheer number of games that are being played, but it feels like the concern about players getting injured, maybe just me, it feels like the concern of players getting injured is increased, like it's much higher than it used to be.
For
like
sure. But I don't know, maybe I'm not an anatomy person for sure, like, but a lot of these injuries are like ACL. I mean, you even see the way these injuries happen. It's more misfortune than it looks like, oh, this was caused by fatigue or accumulation of games. I don't know if you understand what I mean. Like, you see Rodri comes back, Havertz, 2 seconds, gives him something. You know, you guys are just playing like Titans, daddy. Then, Partey, corner. That wasn't even Partey's fault, honestly. That thing happens in football. That, like, it's just the way you stood, you know. And it's like, a lot of the injuries lately, they've all been like ACL, extended, you know.
You make a good
time off the pitch.
You're saying they all seem like individual.
Yeah, it's like, not really. I mean, like, there are a few muscle injuries here and there where you'd be like, maybe fatigue. But the ones that have made headlines, really, you know, think of Carvajal, you think of, what's this guy's name that we just even mentioned right now?
Rodri?
Yeah, Rodri. It's like, it's just ACL and extended layoffs. Like, these guys are not playing till next year. Crazy.
Yeah, because I feel like there needs to be a balance, because I know there's a whole drive and there's a whole like movement towards reducing the number of games being played, all these things. So I feel like that media narrative and that push is driving a lot of opinions towards like whenever a player gets injured, oh my God, you see what we're talking about. There's a lot of games being played. Yeah. Like making that, I see that's the reason why people are getting injured.
Yes.
People have always gotten injured. I don't know.
Always.
That to prove that there is more now than it used to be.
Like, it's more. And that's why, of course, like, it's because stats can lie. You can be like, oh, frequency injury has gone up. But frequency injury will also go up because it's like you are playing more games. So it's like, instead of playing 50 games, let's say you're now playing like 70 games. So, you know, the more you play, the more you risk yourself to injury. That can be an argument. But when I look at the kind of injuries, I'm like, sometimes it's not really that fatigue or, you know, it's not fatigue accumulation. And that's why I'm just like, I don't understand what these guys are arguing. But of course, I'm not the footballer. I understand the game's increasing because we are getting new competitions. World Cup is expanding to 48 teams. So I'm assuming more World Cup qualifying games.
Yeah.
And this Club World Cup, let's be honest, this Club World Cup was boring now, where the winner of Champions League would just come semi-final.
It was. I'm not against that, if I'm being honest. I mean, but I'm speaking from a fan perspective. I would like to see,
I mean, we're football enthusiasts now. We want to watch more ball.
I want to see Santos, Corinthians, actually play competitively against like the Barcelonas in Madrid rather than like a
one-off game. Exactly.
See who is actually
and you see how it's like, it's not just one European team. It's a couple of European teams, a couple. Honestly, actually, like, this is meant to be the true Champions League if you think about it. But it's just that because we already assume that the European teams are the best, you know, Champions League is like
we want to actually see that play out.
Football. But let's actually now see Corinthians or Palmeiras or, you know, if they can cause an upset. That's what football, that's why we love football now. Doesn't mean they are better than this team.
The Opta ranking for the best leagues in the world.
I've not seen that too.
Yeah.
Number one has to be Premier League.
Up for
guys, seriously. And I mean I don't know what the metric is, but if it's based on competition and based on entertainment
So it's definitely not like bias. So they have a lot of criteria that they use to decide it. It's mostly based on stats, power ratings. So they give you they award you points.
Okay, power ratings. So almost like
by rating all the teams in your league in top divisions.
Okay.
So they do power ratings based on every single team. Maybe I'm guessing how the likelihood of, let's say, upsets, how much rotation happens in your league from someone like a team can come 20th, then that same team can climb up to 5th or
How much does it fluctuate?
How they also fare in other in like continental competition and things like that.
Yeah.
So I guess how they rank them. Yeah, so you can guess the first one.
I already said Premier League. I just think Premier League is too competitive.
Yeah, of course, you're right. Premier League, it is 7.9 points.
Guess 7.9 points. Second one, is this in Europe?
I guess. Europe.
I'll say Syria. Syria seems more competitive.
Syria.
Syria, right? Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah,
Syria. And the reason why I say that is because, like,
0.2 points. It's pretty close.
It's close.
What we thought.
Then three should be La Liga.
Nah, Bundesliga.
Bundesliga ahead of La Liga? What? That's a big surprise, man. Because I don't read that Bundesliga league at all.
See, if they're considering how competitive the league is, I'm not surprised by how close it is, because you can tell that Premier League's competitiveness has probably suffered a little bit over the past couple of years. That's why I'm not surprised between like them and Serie A and whatnot.
But I mean, if you divide Premier League into categories, because you can't neglect the financial aspect of things where, like, okay, some people are richer, some people have better players.
I think that's
just heritage generally, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like you expect Man City, especially now. Expect Liverpool, Man U, Arsenal, Chelsea, you expect those teams to normally compete.
Yeah.
And that's why when you look at our title race, honestly, that's why I'm happy Klopp was around, and that's why I'm happy Arteta has kind of like taken over that mantle, because if we didn't have Klopp and, you know, Arteta like this last 2 years, I feel like Man City would have been winning this league. The gap would have been too, you know, disrespectful to the league. Where people will be wondering, like, is this not Premier League? Why is it not looking like Farmers League? Because I recall that season that Mourinho finished second with United, you know, when we had Sanchez and all those guys. Bro, we finished like 19 points behind City and we're second.
Yeah, but.
So that was Mo Salah's first season, I remember. And I'm like, so it's good that we had Klopp and, you know, that era. If not, Man City would have made our league look like Ligue 1.
But if you think about Ligue, you see Ligue 1, besides PSG, is actually more competitive than Premier League.
Ligue 1 is extremely competitive. And do you know what I know? Just playing Ultimate Team here, if you are trying to get players from France, the jump from PSG to every other team is crazy.
Listen, so look at this. So, you know, you guess third as La Liga, but third is actually Bundesliga. Fourth, guess fourth.
I'm not wondering if La Liga is even fourth.
La Liga is fourth.
I think. Oh my god! That means it's mostly European, and this is this worldwide, or is this just Europe?
Guess who is fifth?
fifth Portugal.
Nah, League One. So, and
League One?
La Liga.
Guy,
it's 5.
Is Portuguese league not competitive? Am I bugging?
But the League One does better now. Like in.
And the reason why I'm saying competitive is like, how often do their champions also fluctuate? Like, I hear Sporting today, I hear Benfica tomorrow, I hear Porto later. You know what I mean? But yeah, I don't really follow the league so much.
They have a consistent top three, top four. League One doesn't have a consistent top four. They just have
true.
Bro, you see, Brest,
I mean, it's true. For a period, it's kind of consistent. Monaco was there, but now I mean, it's just
Brest. That
Brest, manager, yes.
That young manager that was playing FM.
That's the English guy. Yeah, I forgot his name. That's crazy. These guys have come a long way.
So League One is on the same point. What blew my mind is League One is 85.1. La Liga is 85.1. They have the same power rating. Guy, I think we'll probably hit.
I read La Liga more though, and I think La Liga is more competitive. I think the quality, like, I'm when I say competitive, I'm talking about competitive quality as well. Like, it's not as if I'm watching high school students. It's going to be competitive, but it's high school level. You know what I mean? And that's the way I see Ligue 1, where it's like, oh, college football versus NFL. You know, they are both interesting, they are both competitive, but you notice the quality gap. So I don't know if quality gap is considered much in this thing. It's just strictly competitive.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm not sure yet. I might have to actually read it deeply to see what else is considered, because I think La Liga, what might have hurt their own points in terms of like competitive, like rotation in like amongst the teams in the table. Because you pretty much always know, besides that, Girona, Barca, Madrid.
Atletico. Like, it's become consistent for the last decade. Like, those three are just
talking about. The one is way more half-hazard. You can't really predict how the second, third, fourth system will go, besides PSG. PSG are probably much the only people you can predict will do well.
You know another interesting stat? I mean, I guess it fluctuates between Barcelona and Real Madrid, but this was the first time in, I don't know how long, that Real Madrid won consecutive titles.
True.
Yeah, was Barca it 15 years or something? I couldn't believe it.
Barca has been in their league since the Messi era, even a little bit after. They now even won, surprisingly, won one with Xavi.
So, and Atletico Madrid, they probably have two in the last 10 years, 2013-14, and the year Suarez was with them. Like, honestly, Suarez winning La Liga there is that's crazy.
I feel like we digressed a little bit. I want to talk more about the whole playing footballers playing all of games thing. Because I have a few thoughts. Because I kind of empathize with players playing many games. It's a bit stressful. And, you know, they need rest. Because I know playing too many games also, even from a viewer's perspective, might actually affect quality of games being played. Like, I want to see the best quality football.
Let me think of this thing from like an economics, political standpoint, where it's like, create more games, give more people an opportunity to play football. So don't overload these players. Give other players a chance.
True.
So it's like, squads will eventually grow. So it's like, more people will eventually see more pros. So it's like, you see more pros coming in every year, because you see people saying, okay, this competition, we can rest this guy. This competition, we can rest this guy. Cool. Why isn't even registered for Conference League?
Yeah, like, why do you have that much squad depth? Why do you have all these players, but you always play the same exact players?
And exactly.
Play many games.
Exactly. So, it's like, all that squad rotation now is like, they are forcing their hand. Because think about it, the best teams play 2 games a week. Wednesday, Saturday, you know, Thursday, Sunday.
That's a good point. So, all these same many, many games is not... The reason why it will be hard for players to actually strike or this or do anything, do you know why?
Right.
Because at the end of the day, most professional footballers actually don't play many games. It's the Sakas, the very, very top one, the 2%.
Yeah, so it's the elite.
The other guys
that play many games.
Take a big cut just because of life is hard for Bruno Fernandes and Saka that are earning way more than 3 times my salary or 4, even 10 times.
And you know, This thing is not all pros that even have the same, you know, they're not on the same side. Bruno Fernandes, like, I don't know if he's really complaining about the games. Players love to play games. Some players really just love to play games.
Rodri and Lu Silva, they all complained. A lot of players have been coming out complaining. But it's the biggest stars, the ones who play 70 games this season. This guy, Mope, is not playing 70 games this season.
It's not.
So... He's
And
not
that's why
looking
you're
like.
not seeing is like it's the teams that want to win that are crying more. Because the teams that want to win want to play their best all the time to ensure they win.
Yes.
And that's what I'm saying is like this gives it's I mean it saturates the sports when you think about it. Because it's like people will not think of like NBA, it's two regular games and you see playoffs, that's when they wake up. So it's like we'll have things like that where the league games, they wake up, Champions League games, they wake up. And, you know, just the same way Carabao and FA Cup, you know, you rest, you play young guys until the latter stages, semi-final, quarter-final competition. Like, I feel like that's what they're going to be doing. But, literally, we're going to be having more teams because we're going to have more injuries. Just more injuries in the game, potentially. We can't avoid that. We need to acknowledge that we're going to get more injuries. So, I think teams should just there should be more rotation in football at this point. You know what I mean? Like they shouldn't reduce it from 90 minutes to 70 minutes. I've been seeing Arsene Wenger saying some funny things, trying to change offside, trying to change like they should leave the game the way it is. Like but clubs should just figure out how they can still win despite, you know, this. Because I don't think it's a lot of games they've added. I think Nations League is the one that if they can scrap anything, they should scrap Nations League. But Nations League was to replace friendlies in the first place and give the players something to kind of play for, because FIFA already noticed, UEFA already noticed, too, it's international friendlies, people are hardly serious.
I find it hard to believe they would. I know a lot of people are trying to make it push for them to like scrape from the country part, like FIFA part, but if you think about it, a lot of these teams, national teams, don't get a chance to actually train and play together a lot. And personally, I prefer Nations League to friendly matches. At least it's competitive. At least players actually play, give their all, as opposed to what it used to be with friendly games. Like that's Nations League is more competitive and is more like I'd rather watch that than watching a friendly match. And that's also an opportunity, like I said before, for them to get some kind of like chemistry.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you think about it, most matches that players play are club matches. I mean, yes, I know they pay them. But why would you scrap country games when they are basically getting they're getting like scrums? So,
because we need to be real, we can't scrap country games. It's like, and of course, not everybody will play in the summer. They don't want to be fighting for TV rights. You know, you want coverage as well. You want visibility. So Copa America, AFCON, Euros will not say we're going to play at the same time. If not, you know, some people will get less viewership. So that's why they pretty much spread it. Oh, take the odd year, take the even year. But to see AFCON and Asian Cup in between the season, because, you know, Asia and Africa already have like different seasons. Summer, winter is different for us. So it's very hard to be on the same page. And because the World Cup now, you see 48 teams, it's like we have to play qualifiers for World Cup. We have
to. They can make it 18 teams. I don't see why Premier League is still 20 teams. Make it 18. Reduce the number of games.
No. I think, 20 teams is perfect. No, come on. And that's what I'm saying. It's like, that structure, that's 20. I'm sorry, that 18, that Bundesliga 18, it feels off.
Nah, but I'm just saying if they're going to scrap anything, they can reduce the number of games in the season, in the league season. 18 is not bad, though.
I think if anybody is increasing games, it's not even FIFA. Premier League can increase games. Domestic competitions are fixed. It's like there's history to them.
We both of yours now, we say we like the FIFA Club World Cup here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to take it away. So if games need to be reduced.
That FIFA Club World Cup is not even that crazy.
Yeah, but we agree that they can't cut country games.
Yes. But the thing is, UEFA is the one that is adding those games. Nations League, there are still friendlies. Then they expanded Champions League to have more teams and included more games.
But countries,
so it's UEFA that is really doing this thing.
Yeah, but countries
than FIFA.
Play.
Oh, I mean, for countries must play, but they've increased the club games and they created Conference League about a few years ago. So it's like they're trying to give everybody, you know, the opportunity to be on the map, make more money for their communities. But
then again, Sha.
Yeah, pros and cons.
Another thing they can do is that at the end of the day, the reason they're making more games is because they need to raise money. Football is losing money.
Of course, now. Make it, spread it.
Most football teams are losing money right now. I don't remember who started, but I think it's only like only one club made profits in Premier League last year.
Really?
So that's part of the reason why they are actually increasing games. So players complaining, you don't want them to pay you. So what I would say, these footballers are making a lot of money. They could actually.
I mean, it's not just the, but the players sound like, if the way the players vent, they accuse UEFA of the ones trying to make money, almost like,
yeah, but
despite
yeah,
you guys giving us just 10%. Yes, you may think these players make a lot, but if you look at what they are played compared to what the club makes, you'll still be looking at, man, these club owners are eating money. These club owners are still, you know, making this money. So it's like, is the agencies and the boards as well too that are being greedy? Because you guys also want to make more on your part. So it's like,
I get that, but because of how much they are paying the players, they need to make money to actually be able to sustain that. That's, I think, what is happening, Sha, overall is that I think football is reaching is kind of averaging out a lot of thousands or whatever they call it. Like, it's averaging out. That's why transfer fees are reducing everything. And because they are losing money at the end of the day, so they need to, everything needs to even out. And a lot of these players are.
But competition money is increasing now. TV rights is increasing now.
True.
So what is making, like, I don't know. Like, we could still say they are feeling the after effects of COVID. We can still say that. Because a lot of this, you know, sustainability rules is like 2022. You see some people had to spread payments across 3 years. They are paying this player that they bought in 2021. They are still making payments. So it's like, it's not easy. It's not easy. I would say like, they are making more money, but maybe COVID, that era, they are feeling the after effects because they didn't make a lot of money then. So imagine you had like a 20 million deal with Adidas. This is how much we give you per game. And it's like, eventually, because games are cancelled, you now have to give this money back to Adidas. You need to start rebalancing your books, selling players you don't want to sell. It affected clubs, I agree.
No, of course, COVID affected a lot of clubs. But a lot of clubs also spent recklessly. That's the reason they brought these new financial rules and restrictions to control spending. True. A lot of clubs spent recklessly in order for them to stay competitive.
Mm-hmm.
So everything is checks and balances. That's also, generally, football as a whole has lost a lot of money. But they are trying to control spending from clubs in order for them to lose more money now. Which is also probably part of the incentive. The incentive to for them to play more games is also make money to balance checkbooks.
Of course, now.
So,
of course,
the salaries, the big salaries, and everything they spend needs to come from somewhere, whatever it is.
And I mean, it's strange. You know, you're French, you're Brazilian, you're English, you're German, and you already play for one of the top world teams in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It is already assumed that you go for an international competition. So it's like, let's look at it now. 2026 World Cup, 2028 Euros. It's like you get a summer off every 2 years. Mm. You know what I mean? If we're being real, it's like, these guys are looking at it, man, I'm getting a summer every 2 years. I was watching Pogba's interview and they were like saying, how has life changed? You know, how are you being supported? Pogba said, I've spent so much time with my wife, it's so weird, but you know, I'm like, yeah, these guys actually hardly spend time with their families. You know, think of it, 2 games a week. I've forgotten the game. I don't know if it was Arsenal or Man City. But I was like, you guys played Thursday, and you had game on Sunday, and both games were away. So I'm like, you went for an away game in Europe, Thursday, you fly back that evening after that game. Saturday, you know, you guys probably align again at like 2 p.m., 3 p.m. in the afternoon, discuss some few tactics. Start today, you guys are traveling to Manchester for Sunday's game. It's like, when can they even train and mentally say, okay, this is what we didn't get right last game. How can we fix up? There's no time to even fix up. It's just game after game. Seriously.
But do you think it's part of the price to play for being a top athlete? And then,
I mean,
To be fair,
the top guys are also paid top money. But it's like,
I saw an interview.
I'm paid top money because of what I can do.
No, that's what I'm saying. So it's part of the
sacrifice. Then You now want to use me this much because you want to entertain people to make more money out of me and for ourselves. It's a blessing and, you know, it's a curse at the same time.
Yeah. But you know what? I can bet that a lot of the lower level athletes that are in championship does not feel sympathy towards those people.
Of course, they don't feel sympathy now. Those guys play 46 league games already. You know what I mean?
They want in the championship. Sure someone in championship wants to be playing 70 games in Barcelona.
Of course, no. But it's like, I feel like that they get there, that the demands at the top clubs also challenging where, you know, people that love football, they will now say, man, football is now feeling like a job. You know what I mean? You know, some guys don't want, they really love this thing where, you know, they don't want it to feel like work. And if it's not feeling like work, it's like, it's not enjoyable.
Yeah. See, the sad part is that, like, because it's just a little, like a subset of professional footballs overall, these top ones. So I guess why I feel like it might just be difficult for them to get their ways that they are not like the average footballer.
Mm-hmm.
And the average footballer make up most of the FA Football Association. So I feel like it would be difficult for their demands to actually be met in terms of like number of games you get, because unless they create like a specific group for themselves where they like the elite athletes. I mean, they probably have a WhatsApp group, all in Van Dijk, Saka and the rest. But because I bet you they are not championship players, Watford players, let's say Everton players are not going to vote in favor of Van Dijk and Co.
True. But I think the honestly speaking, yeah, we could argue about this thing all day, but do you think it's more good than bad? And when I say more good than bad, you think, oh yes, we get to watch more football, we get to see more games. And do you think it's bad from like, these guys are worn out, this guy didn't really get to rest before he played this game, so I'm not going to see this quality today. It's like, are we going to see less quality matches in the name of more matches?
Yeah.
Or, you know what I mean? That's another fear.
I said that earlier, Sha. I'm like, so what is it that you want more of these top level games?
I want more. I mean, it's segregation at that point. And I'm not in favor of the Super League, but want to watch top games.
That's what is this new.
You want to watch top games. I only watch the Premier League consistently because other leagues just, I don't know, maybe it's that I just need to get used to them.
Yeah,
like La Liga is good, even Serie A is good. But Bundesliga, French league, I'm just like, man, I'm not watching this.
United is correct in terms of like, yeah, we are getting more top level games, but because of the not sheer number of them, it might water it down. So we can become less quality. So I think they just need to strike a balance, actually.
And let's be real, football is less expressive, it's less. There's less surprise to it than there was 10, 15 years ago. It's like players are very identical. You could literally say this guy is a close substitute to this guy. Like, you hardly see identity and personalities in players, even if they're like, oh, this is a left back. It's like, this left back had his own game in this system. This left back has his own game in this system. But now, inverted left back is all seeming all the same, so robotic, so predictable. You know what I mean?
I don't know. People are blaming Pep Guardiola.
Yeah, you have to blame. I mean, you can blame Pep, but at the same time, you can't really blame Pep. Pep wanted to play football, or rather, Pep wants to play football from, I have the ball, you don't have the ball, I should win the game, I'm the one that has the ball.
Everybody
so
wants
it's like,
so whatever
make good decisions while having the ball will mean you don't lose the ball. But then, it requires quality class, world-class players who are press-resistant and can make the right decision at the right time, more often than not.
Yeah,
and it's not just about decision-making.
Everything is geared
execution
towards,
has to follow.
I think everything now is geared towards efficiency rather than expressiveness. That's
it's efficiency.
So everybody is no longer about just having talent, but how much output does your talent actually produce?
Thank you. Because back then, like, see how a lot of players, sometimes I look at their stats and I'm surprised. I'm like, really? It felt like this guy was scoring every day back then, but maybe it was just scoring in important games, or you saw what he did on the pitch.
It's because we are not.
It's like right now, it's all numbers, stats.
We were not obsessed with stats at that time. We were actually just appreciating the entertainment,
the game,
before our eyes. But these days, I mean, I still enjoy watching some players. I still enjoy watching some teams. Like, it's not. I'll admit, it kind of, maybe I'm just getting old, but it kind of feels that, like, it's not really as artistically pleasing as it used
to be. It's becoming a manager game. It's becoming a game where we're talking about managers that we, you know what I mean? It's like, I was also young back then, you understand? So it's like, my understanding of football is not like this, but I was talking about players. I was talking about managers. Yeah. But now it's like, you see us talking about managers, or this guy's system, or this guy's system, or this guy's system.
Social media definitely has a part to play.
For sure. Definitely, for sure. The world is evolving. It's changing. So it's like, I think everything has changed.
Now I see a lot of people trying to, like, romanticize. I test. So things are changing more. You see... Because I see a lot of, like, people coming for players that I would say are not as aesthetically pleasing.
Mm.
At least fans, though. Just fans specifically. But
funny enough, my own issue is I don't like it when the media tries to force players on those stats, you know, and give them titles. And they're not deserving of those titles quite yet. And it's like, you probably know the player I'm even talking about specifically. But it's like, some players, you now tend to use the wrong words for them. Like, I'll say, this player is overrated. And it's like, you don't want to say this player is overrated. But what you mean to say is, this player doesn't deserve all the hype he's actually receiving.
Really good, it's like, let him perform at this level for a little bit longer.
Thank you.
Yeah. I
guess. So, no, it's not even Palmer. Who? It's not even Palmer.
Saka?
And the hype with Palmer. I like Palmer a lot. I won't lie. But it's like, when I see the Palmer-Saka comparisons, I'm like, Saka has done this for 3-4, maybe coming up on 5 years now. I'm like, Palmer, you've done this thing for 1 year. You did it probably better than any year Saka has done it. But it's not just, and that's why we have one season wonders. It's like, do it again. You understand? I think Palmer will do it again. I think he's a world-class player. But the person I'm even talking about now is Bellingham. And it's like, Bellingham is good. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong, but the media glazing is out of this world. I'm telling you, this guy will do anything and it's like, oh, look at that tackle, Bellingham. I'm like, come on, man. Like, a lot of players do these things that these guys are doing.
I don't think any player...
Like, look at him this season now, when he's having to play a midfield role and play with other stars. It's not easy to play with stars. It's not easy to play with stars.
Madrid overall are not playing well. So I don't know if I'll just... single him out.
Madrid are not playing overall. Why? Because why? The midfield and the attack and the defense is not connected. Yeah, why? Because the midfield is not there. Like,
you have
a Valverde who is like a box-to-box ball carrier. He's really a utility kind of midfielder that he does everything you want in the midfield. Then you have a Tchouaméni who is really just a defensive mid. I don't think he can control a game in possession. You know, play with this, like, calm the game down. That's not his job. Then on the left, who do you now have? You now have Jude Bellingham. So it's like, when I look at them wanting Trent, it makes sense because you guys have three forwards that are ready to run in behind. And you have a slow building attack. So it's like you're not getting the best out of your attack.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's really kind of a new team when you think about it because... There were a lot of changes. They may seem small, but there are a lot in football.
I think losing Cruz is a big thing. Bellingham.
They've also lost Modric because Modric is clearly not a starter. So it's like he's getting 20 minutes. He's just there to come and fix the game if the game is fixable. So if the game is still 1-1, 78 minutes, Modric is coming in. Yeah, other than that, you guys are not relying on Modric.
With Bellingham, I think, of course, he begets a lot of media hype, but he's a complete player. I would give him that. I think he's very good. I just don't think he's not. When I say complete, I mean the sense that he can offer.
And I'm not saying he's not complete. That is, my problem is Ballon d'Or shouts. The moment you start shouting Ballon d'Or, that's the moment I'm like, the same way I'm going to award you. Now I'll give Ballon d'Or.
What Ballon d'Or, what Bellingham does very good, kind of reminds you maybe like more like Lampard. Like he knows how to come in late in the box and score. That's probably his super talent. But he doesn't need to do that.
Not anymore. Really, though.
No, he comes in late into the ball a lot. Like last season, he did that a lot. And I remember when he was in Dortmund, he played a bit deeper than he did in his first season. I mean, he did not score 20 goals like that, but he was a box to box. He was helping.
I don't think Bellingham has ever played with a striker that is renowned before this year.
That's what I want to say. So the reason he thrived a lot last season, even when he played deep, is because he could arrive in late and there was nobody who
I don't playing. Think he was playing deep. I think they played a lot of 4-1-2-1-2 where Vinicius and Rodrigo were narrow when they go wide, you know,
there were a bunch of games he still played deep and he still scored some goals. I remember that Barcelona game, but he always entered that box. He always crashes the box every time. But now there's Mbappe there. So he can't do that.
That's what I'm saying. There's Mbappe there. Lampard then was just dealing with Drogba and they had wingers that were not inside forwards like we have today. But now, this guy, you already have an Mbappe. It's like, Mbappe will be looking at you like, bro, play your position.
No,
Mbappe will be like, guy, play your position.
I have seen games, Chara, that he did play well as a midfielder. But I think, what I would say, maybe not like well the way we know Bellingham to play well, but once I know he can actually guarantee his efforts.
Yes, I think the goals when you score goals and you're able to get into get the headlines when you get goals.
Yeah, I'm saying
without midfielders shouldn't need goals to like now they say Bellingham's goals have dried up. What are we talking about his goals? I want to see his midfield work. I want to see his ball retention. You know, it's like I want to see ability to play in the midfield if you're a midfielder. Like, I'm sorry, it's not just a midfielder that wows me.
His goals is what like actually give him hype. But his overall game is actually pretty good. I won't say it's
it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Or Pogba. But if you give an opportunity to crash into the box, you will score. He can score for sure.
Yeah, it's like McTominay.
For sure. He gives me shade of Lampard a little bit. Maybe
no.
Probably.
I'm sorry.
I'm not saying with that, if he finds space, he can score as much as Lampard. He can score goals. He will score.
If he guy, Dele Alli, Bellingham has not. Bellingham has not. The best version of Dele Alli I ever saw is better than the best version of Bellingham I've ever seen.
The only thing I would say.
Can you support that?
In terms of scoring. I think Dele Alli was probably
results. And who did Dele Alli play with?
But
he played with Kane. Kane is not the Mbappe, Ronaldo Bellingham, kind of strikers.
Bellingham protecting the ball is better. Like I've seen him under pressure more than Dele Alli. Dele Alli is not that. I don't think Dele Alli is as good as Bellingham on the ball. Just running with the ball. That's one thing I would say, Sha.
I think Bellingham is best with a false nine. I think anything other than a false nine, because it's just Bellingham has a free role as a midfielder.
Dele Alli is good, but guy, Dele Alli on the ball is not like Bellingham on the ball. Even like going back to this guy, see
when you say Dele Alli on the ball, are you talking ball carrying?
Ball carrying
because Bellingham really just gallops, in my opinion.
No, but even his turns, his that half turn is pretty good. He's actually pretty decent.
Yes, but then if we're talking shooting and passing technique, then Dele Alli edges him.
That's what I'm saying.
Like,
no, it's not that different, though.
What's all this PlayStation football kick and run? Like, nah, I want to see your technical side.
I feel like the overhype of Bellingham is making you the racist.
That's what I'm saying. Bellingham is good, but it's like the moment I started hearing Ballon d'Or, I was like, there's no way. I'm like, I will not allow the game I love. But just go low like this way. Midfielder will just score goals and they want to give him best.
Mentality monster. Dele Alli is best. I was giving him like, bro, this guy is mad. He's good. He fell off, though. I feel like he would have got as much hype as Bellingham at some point if you go to Madrid.
Premier League goals at 22-23 from midfield.
Guy, do I hype Dele Alli as well?
Premier League young player of the year. Dele Alli was hyped. And it's like, I mean, Real Madrid hype, of course.
Much in the same way I'd be looking at Bellingham like, guy, Because I just feel that it was just...
I mean, Bellingham is definitely good. Moving to Germany 16-17 is
He's good. I just think this current Madrid team does not really work for him like that.
It doesn't.
And because of Mbappe's arrival. But if anybody can figure it out, Ancelotti can.
So. Football is so dynamic. Like, it's so crazy. It's like, if you don't have a striker that can play with this kind of player, it's not going to work. It's just not going to work.
But see, I miss those players that, regardless of any of these things, they still try.
That's the thing. And that's what I'm saying. Yeah, managers are taking the credit. Neymar, bro. I miss Neymar. Because you start hearing something like, oh, this guy is good for this system. I mean, and that's what I'm saying. My football knowledge is growing. But I wasn't saying all these things back then, thinking, oh, the system players.
I definitely think there are players that just transcend that thing. Like, of course. But I mean, those are like the best players. So it's not everybody. So like... I saw one post Cavani where he was asked like, okay, that was, does he think he's a genius? But like, no, that he's a passionate player who scores, he's a striker who scores, he's a passionate striker who scores a lot of goals. Like, talking about geniuses like Messi, Maradona, Neymar, R9. I'm like, that makes a lot of sense.
Sometimes. Yeah, Neymar was ridiculous. Hazard was ridiculous. I saw that goal that Hazard scored against West Ham.
Hazard was ridiculous, bro. Like,
and the thing is, watching the Premier League, knowing this league is very physical, like, we don't allow you to do this thing so much. Mm-hmm. So I've seen Hazard do that thing so much.
Mm-hmm.
Can't believe that guy is retired. Yeah. He was one of my favorite players, especially in his last couple years, probably.
When I saw the post about Pogba and everything, and him coming back. Pogba and Napoli I actually liked, even though I didn't like when he went to Man U, but I actually liked Pogba. Pogba and also Neymar is coming back with ACL.
Yeah. Pogba has a point to prove, and I think he's trying to get into the French team again. You know, there's something about Deschamps. Deschamps really wants to win, you know, when he brought N'Golo Kante back into that team, I wasn't surprised because I'm like, with the way you have that team set up right now, you need N'Golo Kante. And now Griezmann has retired. So it's like, you look at the midfield, they need Pogba. They need Pogba. So it's like, if Marseille does sign Pogba, and I think Marseille, I don't know if they're playing Champions League football this year.
Do you think Pogba is the same Pogba though?
I don't think it's the same Pogba, but that's the thing. And there's something he says, like, I feel like a pro again. He's playing like he has a point to prove. And because the World Cup is just a year away, it's like, bro, he's going to cook. I feel like he's going to cook if he stays fit. That's a big if. But in terms of his performance, while he's on the pitch, I expect nothing not short of class, especially in France.
I'm really excited to watch watch Neymar and Pogba again, to be honest.
I don't know. Saudi Arabian League is just, I don't know. I feel like he's really going to be having fun there where it's not going to even look real.
I think he'll move. Because I can tell, Brazil clearly needs him back, for sure, clearly.
When you say move, where do you see Neymar moving to?
I was not thinking to Miami.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, if Neymar is moving, he's not moving to any... It's not. We're not talking top. I mean, I don't know the kind of top European team that will take Neymar considering his wages right now.
It's going to be 33 February. Considering his wages. But if he takes a pay cut, I'm pretty sure there are many, many teams that want him back.
Well, I mean, if Neymar takes 250k a week, which I doubt he will.
I mean, Barcelona's left wing is basically empty. But
really? You think so?
He will play.
Rafinha has been amazing this year. I mean, I don't know if he's playing the left wing, but Rafinha
is playing with Lehmann, kind of behind Lehmann.
Midfield, right? RCM almost. Yeah. That Kulusevski role. That's another thing they've started doing. All these wingers that have amazing work rates. Bernardo Silva was the first person that started seeing that thing. See Bernardo Silva, RM, CM. Now Kulusevski, amazing work rates. He's playing center mid for Postecoglou as well.
Yeah. That thing kind of, it's not the first time I've seen that kind of thing. I remember when Mourinho like got
rid of Mata was like, it was a 10 though, and Mourinho played him out wide because Mourinho doesn't like his 10s like that.
Him with Oscar is a more of a workhorse kind of thing.
Yes, thank you. Mourinho likes workhorses in the middle of the pitch.
Mm-hmm.
Oscar Mbuaba, man, remember that goal against Juve? That turn. Yeah. Like, bro, look at what players we're doing now. Now, you don't understand, the players have that ball now. It's Ruben Dias and Akanji. They will exchange that ball 10 times. They're looking to simplify the chance. No expression anymore. It's just robotic. Like, managers are taking all the glory now. It's like, talk about me instead. And that's what is Guardiola that I'll blame for that, honestly. Change the goalkeeper role to the point where teams now focus on the ball playing abilities, where even Onana can't even save a shot. I mean, let me calm down with Onana, you know, Premier League save of the month, or that player of the month. But I feel like I've been watching our games, he's been predicting a lot. Like, it sounds crazy, but Onana is predicting. Like, I mean, Eriksen is to blame for that 20 goal. But see that goal now.
See
his near
Onana
post.
Has that Onana and this boy, that former Arsenal player. What was that his name again?
Ramsdale.
They have this uncanny ability of, like, whenever they make remarkable saves, but then the goal they score, they'll be looking like.
It's the tendency to make it all about them. All these guys, you see, you know, Ramsdale in the game, you know, getting all interacting with the camera. Is like, focus on what you're here for.
But the thing is that the goal they scored them, I'm like, it's not their fault. But the way they look, the way they dive, make it look like it's their fault. But it might not be their fault. Like, they be confusing me. So I'm not sure, like, if a goal is their fault or not their fault.
It's their fault. It's their position. I remember one finesse that De Bruyne had.
Yeah, but is
he played the finesse near post. You remember that goal?
Yeah, but
bro, that finish was silly. I was like, Ramsdale, you have to stop that. But I looked at the finish, I'm like, But I'm like, Ramsdale, you still have to stop that.
I'm confused, though. Every time they score them, I'm looking, they might make like 10 mad saves, but every goal they concede, they look funny. I think it's how they look. I don't know.
Probably.
I don't really know how to judge, like, Ramsdale mistakes sometimes. Because I'm like, will Anakipa have saved this? Maybe not. Maybe. He just always looks funny whenever he concedes, honestly.
It's true, sure.
Because their save percentages are not bad at all.
No. I'll say Onana has been good this year, to be fair.
It's kind of good. Yeah, Onana, even last season, he made a lot of mad saves now, Abby. So,
yeah.
But all the goals he conceded.
Last season. Yeah, but you know they were in me, John.
No, go. I'm gonna go look in stats. So in percentage, no bad at all. But just the number of goals he's conceded. But then again, is it Manu's defense or is it him? Like,
honestly speaking, that's just. I don't want to come back to Ten Hag. If you notice, we've not really spoken much about Ten Hag, but I've been avoiding it. It's the manager.
The manager not save the ball.
It's the manager. The way you set your team up, it's like Ten Hag is like. He's a cup manager. You're playing in an Ajax team that is the best team in that league. And it's like, he just plays that counter all the time. And that's why, mind you, no matter the game, it seems like we can't win by more than a goal difference of one. I was looking at the goal difference stats since Ten Hag came into Man United. I saw Man City plus 81, Arsenal plus 76.
Who will leave Man for this
time? United zone was one.
That's
the manager, bro. Like, let's not get into that.
I feel like he's not going to get better. At some point, you'll sack him for sure. We all know that.
They better sack him this season. They really better sack him this season, especially with development.
This is a good segue to our next conversation. Thomas Tuchel is now manager of England.
I was a little surprised, though. I know after Capello, they kept on saying stuff about, he's got to be English. And I didn't even know Capello was only their second...
Yeah, Eriksen.
International manager. I knew Wenger and Eriksen now. Rest in peace. Like, I knew Eriksen at 2006 World Cup.
Yeah, I know Capello was the other manager.
Capello, you know, 2010 World Cup. 2012 Euros.
But, you know, they've had some really good managers, at least, like, reputation-wise.
Not really.
Capello was really good.
I mean, wait, no, I'm saying like since Capello, not really, because it's like I think about it for Hodgson.
The foreign managers they've gotten are usually high stock.
Yes. So it's like Thomas Tuchel, like you look at him, he's like solid cup manager.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking, you know, this is nations right now, so it's not club football, so it's just going to be cup matches.
Looks like a perfect
fit. England, semi-finals, finals, Euro 2020 finals, Euro 2020. Guys, so it's like, you need to get the best out of this team. They are close. They just need that little push. Yeah.
You know something, though? Like, this really makes Southgate look really, really good. If you see, like the record of them, Capello, Eriksen, and the rest. These are some top quality managers, and this guy actually outperformed all of them.
I mean, not really.
Yeah.
I don't think, like people say England's golden generation. If you still look at England's golden generation, I don't think they were still better than some teams then. You know what I mean?
No.
Let's be real.
That's between me and you. I agree with you. See, me, I won't say I've not rated England before. I don't really always rate England. I think they were overhyping themselves. But I'm just saying, based off of, like, in terms of teams, quality teams, I would not say they were good as fuck. Like, just individual.
No, they were good. England was good, but...
Schools.
God. No, that's the thing. People say England's golden generation. It's just that there were teams then that were still better than them. Brazil, like, bro, let me tell you, I expected Brazil to win the World Cup in 2006. I expected Brazil to win the World Cup in 2010 or Spain.
The same way I expect Spain to win this one too. I'm just saying that England today, nobody to the England hype starts. So
that's like, the thing. And mind you, we're English speaking, so a lot of the sports articles we'll be seeing will be more British written. And of course, there will be natural bias that will favor them to promote their own and say, look at what we have. Look at what
factually,
we have.
Factually, I have never thought England was the best team in the world. Even though all those times they were crying, disappointing, 2006, wow, Portugal, England, golden generation, Rooney. I never thought they were the best team in the world.
Because you look at our midfield here. I say our midfield, look at me repping England. You look at England's midfield here.
Gerard,
and it's like, Wolf, yes, you may look at the players individually, yes, but Spanish football is already, the mentality and what is based on is already different. These guys are now inspired by Xavi and Iniesta, who were selfless players. They now have two of their starting three midfielders, actually Gavi and Pedri. Now, injury, they make them know they play. Mm-hmm. I think their midfield three is really Gavi, Pedri, and what's his name? Rodri. Like that midfield three, when you think about selflessness and what football is.
Fabian Ruiz was immense, guy.
That's the thing. Fabian Ruiz was also immense. And that's what I'm saying. You look at Dani Olmo, you look at the depth of the men.
Yeah, they have their team.
Oh my God. The guy, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, but if you look England, you say Rice. Ah! Yeah, Rice.
Agree.
No, Bellingham. Ah! Foden. But let's put them together. You cannot talk.
England's hype has always been about individual players.
Thank you.
Before and now. Even what they missed then and what they miss now. They're almost the same thing. They still miss that kind of midfielder.
It's like they will have the same good players, but it's like all of them play the one position. Yeah, so you can only play one at a time.
Gerrard, Lampard, like schools, like they won't be star man, all of them. Even now,
they were playing 4-4-2 then, so it's like, let's say Rooney and Owen or something. Like, bro, it just couldn't work.
Yeah, but now they have pretty much the same issue. But one thing I would say this guy, even though he sacked, actually discovered that Angel Gomez guy, his profile is what they've been missing. But it's unfortunate, he's not a superstar. So he actually has that controller gene that could actually knit them together if they actually have sense. Because I've kind of watched him play.
I saw that touch he gave Grealish for that goal. I said, fuck.
Yeah, he's not that popular, but if they actually have sense, let that boy play. I'm pretty sure he's so
cheap. They do.
He's actually good.
Mm-hmm.
He's not something they have, like in all their stars. No one's like Declan Rice is not really that kind of player. He's more like, he has that box to box.
You know, I told my bro, because, you know, Kobe Mainoo made his debut for England in March of this year now. I told my bro, Mainoo is, England don't have any midfielder like Mainoo. Calvin Phillips was like what they had. But I told him, Rice doesn't, you see the way Rice dribbles, he's like, it's more rigid than Mainoo. So I was trying to tell him, I told him, Mainoo will not start the first game or two, but after the second game, Mainoo will start. Mm-hmm. And Mainoo started, literally what I said is what happened.
The thing about Mainoo though is that I think his defensive quality needs to be improved. That's probably what's holding
him. Of course, he doesn't have any awareness because Man United is a counter-attack team where, you know.
If he proves that, you'll be gold. Like, you'll be gold. That's some pretty low level shit. Like, he'll be very good if he actually improves that. So maybe he can also be like that. But that Gomez guy is more tactically smart, defensively at least. So he can be someone.
See
that,
this guy in a world at the top, Adam Wharton. I'm like, Wharton may be good, but it's like, you need to understand that when players have graduated from these kind of academies, there's already a standard that they've met. And it's like, if they're not passing eye tests at that age, they're actually really good.
Yeah.
See Crystal Palace. They go collect again this weekend. They never see anything. They won't collect win this season. I hope they go up to 10 games and don't collect one win.
So it now been the talk, Seth, about this guy. Hey, given what we know about England, why he talks, say, Southgate actually, at least he did better with his own people compared to other managers. So, Tuchel, I think Tuchel is better, but more the standards are
really high. Can we analyze this thing?
No, I know what you want to say in terms of the teams they face and everything.
Bro, 2018 World Cup, guy, I'm sorry.
I get what you're
the
saying.
The draw was so favorable. They played Belgium twice and lost to them twice.
I get that, but we can't.
And Belgium was the only team that you could say, oh my God, like, and they lost to them.
Okay, but guy, I still can't discount multiple finals though. I can't. Because if we
make multiple Euro finals, yes, you can say so. But it's like, still, it's just...
Even the World Cup final, being a semi-final.
I mean, look, bro, these Euros, we watch these Euros now. And that's what I'm saying. This is like something hard. This Southgate reminds me of... Just hold on, let me finish. Yeah. It's very much like Ten Hag, because look at the Slovakia game that they were going to go out. Bellingham just gets a moment. Bro, how was the football? Let's be real. Bro, you don't remember the football. How was the football?
He's more pragmatic. He always sets his team defensively for the most part. That's his criticism. He's very pragmatic. And what I'm saying is that, like, his record, like, in knockout competition, I can't really criticize it too much. I hate the way he plays, but I think I've come to the acceptance that might be just how international football is. Because if you look at the champs, the same thing. They do the same thing. They are boring. They don't really like taking too much risk. It's not be as if they are lucky to win. They do that.
Nobody has chemistry in national team. Chemistry is tough,
except Spain.
And that's what I'm saying. You need Germany sometimes when they play, they do connect. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. You need
and pick Brazil.
Like, the teams that play well are teams without egos. I'm telling you. No, when there are no egos and you have that unity, that's when you cook. Like Portugal, as far as Ronaldo is there, is talking about 2026. They're not going to win anything because this guy is going to go there. You people will say he's not the coach, but let's be real. How much influence does this guy have on saying, okay, I want to start, I want to play this game? See the way he was sulking in the 2022 World Cup when he was on the bench.
I think they just need to, like, know what to do about Ronaldo, but they are good.
Seriously, he's affecting their ball. He's really affecting. They can't grow with that guy, I'm telling you. Imagine, like, you're 23, 24 years old right now, and it's like, this guy you watched as a kid is still playing your team and he can't get your chance because he won't let go of that glory. Nah, Ronaldo should relax, man. He's becoming so unlikable.
They will figure it out. But anyway, with that, we say Tuchel, the standard is high for Tuchel, so the pressure might be immense, actually, because now you cannot say, you know how he was complaining with Bayern Munich and with PSG and with Chelsea, talking about like transfer support and everything. You know, get those excuses. The team is good.
The thing is, international too is still tough because if Tuchel makes a final and he doesn't win it, it's not failure. People need to realize, like, it's one chance you have.
No failure. Guy, you have to remember one thing.
No. When I say it's not failure, when I'm saying it's not failure, it's like, let's say another team, like now, let's say it's another team that we also have these expectations for. This team has to win. And you look at it like...
No, you're being logical, but football fans are not logical. They will think about the fact that
they look at the pattern.
And manager. And this
true.
Guy who got to a final and lost to pretty much the best team in the world.
It's true. They look at the pattern. That's
and
true.
They now brought... They sacked that guy and brought you who is supposed to be better. Guy.
It's true.
Southgate got multiple finals, but he still faced immense criticism. Because
of the style of play, they knew they were fortunate. Those were like led by people who would have finals.
Guy, one thing about defensive style of play, if you play defensively and you don't win, you're not going to be forgiven. That's one side about football. If you play defensively and you don't win. Guy, if the Deschamps did not win that World Cup, because I remember how they were criticizing him before he got to the finals. Playing boring
football. Is it the 2018 World Cup?
everyone he has won, even the Euros, he played defensively a lot. But the reason why he's been forgiven is because he wins. Just wait till he starts losing. Right now, they're criticizing them because of how they're playing.
Can't even score, yeah.
He always goes the same way. If he now wins, they'll keep quiet. It's Thomas Tuchel. Bayern Munich last season. He also plays, what they forget, forget his name. He's also a pragmatic manager. So me, I want to see what they start saying now, because I'll start getting pragmatic.
Mm-hmm.
When they are playing defensively and whatnot, I want to see how they criticize him. I want to see what they'll say, because he's not going to start.
And England's defense, and that's the thing, and that's what I'm saying, is like, what looks strong is now weak. Let's look at England's team. Let's be real. Let's talk about quality right now. I want to just talk about quality.
You don't think they're good enough?
Front three, striker Kane, right winger Saka. That left winger, I can't tell you who is there that owns that place, that plays that place well. You can mention Gordon, you can mention Grealish, you can mention Foden. Nobody holds that left wing very well. Madueke is just there for vibes. I don't think Madueke is going to improve this team in any way. I don't think Madueke is going to get over 50 caps, if I'm being real with you.
I mean, he's...
Cole Palmer now is another player where they're like, oh my God, we have to start this guy. And this is what leads to issues in teams. So it's like, Foden don't day there. Bellingham already, they're trying to make him the poster boy. But Bellingham doesn't play number 10 the way they want that number 10 to be ideally played. When you look at the way Saka and Odegaard play, and you look at the way Cole Palmer and Saka could cook, you really think, oh my God, how about we play this guy like this? And it's like, Harry Kane is, Nicholas Jackson can't even lace Kane's boots. So it's like, is it that Bellingham and Rice, and Bellingham says, okay, I'm going to play for the team. I'm going to play this holding role and play my job simple. I'm putting the effort I normally put.
Yeah, no, you make it very
because
very
honestly speaking, Foden is not starting in that team, if I'm being real. Foden is better than a lot of players. If you look at his career, everything, I'm like, for the sake of the team, Saka can play that right wing in a more team-like manner than Foden is too fluid in that Man City system. He's so used to that Man City system of moving around. You can't play like that in England. So that left wing is the only place that I'll say is really open for them to try and shuffle players.
Yeah, they have problem in that cam and left wing position and that midfield position as well.
Then their defense is non-existent. They don't have a quality goalkeeper. I looked at that thing that Pickford did. Couldn't even put his feet together.
Yeah.
And Cole will now help him and save his ass. Like, Pickford is not... When we talk about quality... Like, bro, I've never heard... Pickford is fighting relegation every year, and that's England's number one.
Mm-hmm.
Left-back Luke Shaw plays 12 games in a season and is their best left-back because of the system, but he's not even around to play.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Chilwell don't even get me started. Then you have Levi Colwill, you have John Stones who is aging, you have Maguire who is aging and already leaving the team. It's like, bro, the team is incomplete now. It's actually incomplete now. That defense looks whack.
They have talent, I would say that, but...
Bro, their defense is in trouble. And because they have, like, young midfielders that are still struggling to understand that role, especially at the international level,
mm-hmm.
Bro, I'm sorry, I don't think England is winning any World Cup in 2026. I keep on looking at Portugal, but Ronaldo is the one that blocks them. Because when I look at the way and the vibe, you know, Bruno...
Portugal has a lot of talent. Like, a
ridiculous too much
talent.
It's being blocked by one man.
I can't write England out just because of they've been very close two times in a row. So I think they also get close.
But it's almost like but England is in their Belgium phase now where, oh my God, these players are now old. You know what I mean?
They are young. They are shy.
You're saying they are young, but like we just looked at the defense.
After this
World
Cup, they will now become in that next World Cup. They will now
they're already in their phase. And the reason why I say they're already in that phase is because John Stones and Harry Maguire, I don't think they are. Eh?
Mean phase of decline?
Yes.
Why?
Because you look at Maguire, he was fundamental.
I don't think their defense has ever been like top notch. I think what really defines this.
That's what you're saying. But how fundamental. But Maguire is noticed in that team.
True.
Corners, set pieces. You know, they were spamming set pieces now. When we started seeing that one line stuff, it's 2018 World Cup, we saw that thing for the first time. Yeah, that one line stuff. Is England that started that stuff?
Honestly,
you can't remember that stuff.
I agree with you in that part. I remember, but
Maguire banging goals
with this their Cole Palmer, Foden, Saka, Bellingham generation, they are still starting. And
bro, mention their defenders in 2026 World Cup. How do you think the team will line defense wise?
No, see, I think they need to find like a very good partner. For I think they need to move on from Maguire. He's a good replacement.
Bro, Walker is like they try and play Walker in that place.
Who is that?
Trent is not a right back when you think about what a right back is. Every left winger, world class left winger, will cook him.
Don't you think he's improved this season though? We under on the slot. He's looked a little bit better defensively.
Bro, honestly speaking, system has changed. The style of team has changed. Liverpool, they recruit the ball really quickly. I've not analyzed his defensive side.
I was thinking of Gehi. Gehi didn't look too bad.
That's what I'm saying. Like, no matter how you make this thing sound, but Gehi. And it's like, you're not talking about pros like... I'm sorry, man. When you even talk about... Like, Netherlands is in a better position to win 2026 World Cup than England.
Netherlands?
Yes, I'm telling you. It's like, when you talk about even squad-wise... Players wise, the team gelling. Yeah, England always choke.
The team I think will win World Cup is Spain. I think the best player in the world plays for Spain right now.
Is he Yamal?
Yeah.
Yamal is the best player in the world to you.
At the moment,
Yamal is in the same boat as Cole Palmer for me, where I'm like, these are world class players. Yeah. Just hold on.
Yeah.
These are world-class players, but I will not give them that title yet because you have to work for it. But when you see Yamal's ability, you know, this boy is going to be world-class. You're like, damn, this boy is just 17.
I didn't say he's overall best. I think Vinny win best player in the world, but I think overall, just based on pure ability, I'm just predicting, projecting. Honestly, what he's been doing since the beginning of this year, the last season, the Euros, and right now.
Yeah, just even from Euros to now, it's crazy.
Yeah, the best player in the world. Forget even your output. I'm just watching you. You're literally
the way he dribbles, the way he plays, it's class.
You're reverberating the entire pitch. I think Palmer is very, very good, of course. Mm. And that's also why I respect Saka. I don't think you can watch an Arsenal match and you don't see Saka. Like, Saka is literally, he dominates the game. It's not just about, even when he doesn't even score. There are games he can be quiet, but it's not just about output.
Mm-hmm.
His presence is felt around the game. Honestly, I might not want to say this loudly, but I think I would low key seen that a bit more, even with Odegaard's absence.
Like, that's Saka is actually really good.
Saka's influence is clearly, like, you can feel it. But the reason why I think Yamal is the best player right now is that I think he does that more than any other player I see today.
Yeah.
I'm not comparing.
It's almost like he doesn't stress.
Yeah, I don't.
You see the natural ability of him.
Neymar, Messi, like when that kind of aura. That's what I'm saying. Like, and that's rare. Like, I don't know. Right now, I think he's the best. I personally think he's has a probably better than even guy. Okay, guys, we spot on Mbappe. I think he's actually better. I watch almost all his games.
I've been seeing Barcelona games. Like the boys, and that's what I'm saying. Their midfield is set. Their attack is kind of set because everything is system. And that Daniel Olmo now, the way he plays that 9 for Spain is different, though. Telling you. And it's like, once you get, it's like Chile that time, you see Vargas and Sanchez. There's some guys, you may never know who the club Vargas plays, but international is the one that they need to play. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So you need to play. Chemistry is very important. So it's all about dynamics. You cannot play a false 9 with Jack Grealish on left and right wing. Both of all of them go tap, 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 tap. Nobody going to tap box. If you have Jack Grealish left wing and right wing, you need a striker.
You my need favorite sport right now, probably Yamal, Palmer. I mean, of course.
Best what?
I have to call my boy Saka. I say my best players to watch right now. Oh, Yamal, Palmer, and Musiala. Actually, I forgot my Musiala.
Yeah, I've not seen Musiala a lot, but I like him. I like Musiala. That's him. I don't watch that Bundesliga, but I like Musiala. Musiala comes to the Premier League. I think he's going to Manchester.
Yeah, me, I really enjoy watching Saka too, but not because I'm an Arsenal fan, but Saka is Saka the G, bro. Nah, of course, Arsenal fan. You have to respect his quality when you see that, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, do we have any other topics to talk about? Nah, see, you know,
I mean, just the games coming up this weekend, Brentford. Let them not just close inside the first minute. That's my own.
If Brentford beats you guys, it might be a good opportunity, because it might mean Ten Hag's exit. So,
yeah, I know you guys Liverpool should be a breeze. Liverpool Chelsea game,
because Chelsea defense is going to probably be put to test well for probably the first time, because their defense has been quite weak.
Chelsea is such an unpredictable team to. Like, you just can't really analyze how the game is going to go in Chelsea sometimes. Because
they threw everything at you. They're attacking.
Yeah. I love watching
the
games.
But their defense has been porous. But maybe it's a result of how they play. That game is supposed to be just based on, like, a simple analysis. It looks like it's going to be madness.
And their depth is just, I mean, they seem like defense. Average, you know, players or used. These guys used to be, but those guys are still pretty decent players.
Liverpool's, I believe in Coco doesn't defense start. Has looked good on paper, but I suspect in my
Liverpool's defense
they look good on paper, but they don't really play any tough teams yet. So this is a good chance.
Need to see Gravenberch. They want them with Palmer them, and let me see. Yeah. But I mean, it's Anfield as well. So of course, Liverpool still. Still most likely to win, or rather more likely to win.
Chelsea's game attack is really based on turnovers in the midfield. So they will not. I don't think they will do that. They will press Liverpool as much, because Liverpool is pretty press resistant to a good extent. So I don't think they'll get as much chances to counter them.
Okay, press resistant, because look at their midfield. Their midfielders are all good on the ball. Gravenberch is the deepest line now. It seems him and McAllister.
You see a lot of goals Chelsea score. Just taking the ball from the opponent in midfield. So this will be a really, really interesting game, like, tactically.
Seriously, because Caicedo, that guy is press. He just come out of nowhere.
And that interesting game, Sha, is that Frankfurt versus this guy, Leverkusen. That game, bonkers.
Let me see if I have time for Bundesliga this weekend. But
guys, this guy is prejudiced.
No, it's just, you know, because 6:30 is when, you know, because I bet it's 7:30 for you. But my first game here is 6:30. Then 6:30 till, like, 1. You're watching games with, let's say, 30 minutes. Like, after the 6:30 game, you have 30 minutes for the 9 o'clock game. After 9 o'clock game, 30 minutes for the 11:30 game. After the 11:30 game, it's like, okay, let me do my day. Then La Liga will play 2 o'clock. It's like when do I really have time to watch Bundesliga?
I just have to see the highlights. Games. You can't run from games.
bro. Seriously. I won't use game finishers.
Bournemouth,
if you notice, that's why La Liga even play their own games later.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they just allow. It's almost like they all concede everybody's going to be watching Premier League at this time. So let's just play in the evening. Because remember, El Clasico then for Nigeria, 9 p.m., 10 p.m. sometimes now.
Mm-hmm.
Evening, nights. Even PSG, a lot of evening games.
Yeah.
So that people can, they don't drag with, you know, Spain and all these people. It's Bayern that be fighting. Didn't you hear what the lead said? He said, it's good that I'm in England now. It's like, at least I have coverage and they can watch me and see my game. Like, he knew what he was saying now.
But anyway, Sha, Bournemouth Arsenal, I mean, me, I go watch that one for sure.
Because you're confident.
Saka Martinelli play, Sha, because I still don't trust our second team that much. So
you see, you don't trust your second team. Is it like
when Saka and Co don't start? Like
no, I'm not saying second team. I'm saying, so if I only remove Martinelli now and I put Trossard, or I remove Martinelli, put Sterling, think the game? Never say Sterling, Trossard.
See, as far as I'm concerned, when I don't see people like Saliba, Saka, and what's his name, Havertz, he's the second team that's playing.
And Jesus must, honestly, that guy must be distraught. He's like, what's wrong with my career? Like, I can't even get him.
Havertz don't come out now. That boy is...
Yeah, Havertz is... And Havertz really is like undisputed now right now. He's just had to replace him. So Jesus has to live in the summer.
People January are coming for my guy. I think this guy... Trust me, this guy is giving 20 goals, bro. Like, he's
20 goals this season. Hmm. He's all cups or league?
League. If he does not enjoy, and he takes penalties, he can easily do it. Person will score.
But it's not your penalty taker, is he?
That's the problem. But he's got 14. He's got 14.
And he's a good penalty taker. He takes penalties for Germany.
My point, he's got 14 last season.
18 in the league?
18, yes, in 18.
No, he didn't score 14 goals in the league.
He did. Let me show you.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you serious? That's impressive. See Abed too. Abed's not a grow.
Not confirmed before. Person can't correct me now. I think he scored 14 goals in the league, sure. Last season. But yeah, imagine if he was taking out penalties. I mean, that was 280 Premier League goals right there.
Yeah. The same one they got was 2 years ago. He got 15 goals, no pens. Something. Oh, yeah, you may be right, though. Because he has 17 league goals for us now. Yeah, he scored 13 league goals last year. Yeah, 14 all comps.
And what impressed me more is that he played 18 games as a striker.
So he's almost coming into that role right now.
Yeah, so I can't imagine him playing. I mean, now he's already playing midfield because of our injuries, but still, he's still scoring. So,
well, obviously, I've really never known his position because there's way he plays that striker. Yeah,
well, we know
it's like you just know he's a forward.
The boy is the center forward. See his goals, his heading, his physical ability, mm-hmm. is the center forward. I mean, it's good that he can play midfield too, but I beg, I want him to keep playing center forward.
Yes, because he's a technical player now, sound.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, though, come on. I think we've come to the end of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thanks for listening, guys. Thanks, Shane. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Let's do this again anytime,
next week.
Anytime, yeah. Right now.